Now it's time for Tracy Martin from the New Zealand First Party.
Indeed it is. You are back on The Wire. This morning I spoke with Minister Tracy Martin of New Zealand First. I had originally proposed a conversation around policy and MMP, given Martin has pushed back recently on what she says is a narrative in the media that New Zealand First is blocking certain policy. She's asked why there's less discussion on the policy New Zealand First tries to get through that also gets blocked. This ended up being a useful discussion about how MMP works, and I also asked whether the minister believed this past government term had been successful. However, this morning I came across a newsroom article which follows up on their ongoing investigations into Oranga Tamariki, so I put this to the minister as well. So today we're going to hear that discussion, and either tomorrow or Friday you can hear the rest of the MMP discussion. Otherwise, it will be available on podcast through the BFM website over the weekend. I do recommend it. Just sort of for those inner workings of Parliament that we don't get all the time every day. Given we're going into an election, it'd be good to understand how that works. Anyway, I digress. So this morning, an article by Newsroom was published, which addresses a range of claims made by people currently working for OT as well as former employees. It addresses claims that describe the agency as plagued with bad practice, bullying, and incompetence. The bullying described is often toward people who don't toe the company line, it says. For full transparency, I'll read the article blurb here. Quote, last week, Newsroom revealed details around Oranga Tamariki CEO Grainne Moss' sudden exit from her previous role at Bupa and asked how, within months of receiving a payout, she had managed to secure a top job in the public service. Influential Māori leaders have been calling for her resignation for more than a year, with the heat turned up again this month after the release of the Children's Commissioner report into the agency's uplift practices. In the second part of this investigation, we talked to current and former staff from Oranga Tamariki who share serious concerns over a culture in the government agency that they say can put Tamariki at risk, end quote. And in the article, though, it stated in nearly all the conversations they had, the same issues were brought up no matter where in the country the OT staff were from. Those issues are qualified social workers being replaced with unqualified youth or care workers, social workers being targeted if they complained, doubt over the way caseloads are calculated, children being misrepresented in documents going before courts, only paying lip service to Te Ao Māori, major issues with staffing at youth justice facilities. I've outlined this here because there's not much discussion during the interview of what actually is in the article. Anyway, here is Minister for Children, Tracy Martin. This article from Newsroom, have you seen it?
Yep.
And what was your response?
I don't have a response. This is two articles. I mean, I'm going to ask this question. So I don't have a response on this. Obviously, I'm going to have to digest the accusations that have been made inside these articles by anonymous people and talk to my staff about what I need to follow up on and what I don't. So that's the first thing. I'm not going to make any statements based off comments by anonymous people. But I want to ask you this. If somebody rang around everybody you'd ever worked with and everybody you'd ever met or everybody you'd ever interacted with, do you think that they wouldn't find somebody to say something mean about you?
I don't disagree, but that's kind of a big big accusation to make on the part of a news, you know, organisation which has conducted these investigations over years now.
I beg your pardon?
Well, in terms of Newsroom, their first investigation was last year.
Yeah.
And then, and to continue that, what they've done is just gathered more evidence. And like you've said, yeah, sure, if you go and ring around everybody, you'll find someone that doesn't like you. But what they're displaying is sort of a number of different voices that are pointing to a certain culture in an organisation that seems to be a problem.
So you're suggesting that these articles have been written to highlight a culture in Oranga Tamariki as opposed to a personal attack on one person?
That's what I'm reading.
What you're reading?
I don't know what the personal bias would be from Newsroom to a particular person.
Well, I don't know either. But what I know is that these articles have been written because, you must have read the first one, right?
The one that describes how the CEO of OT left abruptly from her former work?
So, yeah. So this is a follow-on from that. So you're suggesting to me that a reporter ringing around people who have nothing to do with Oranga Tamariki but worked with an individual in a completely different area, in a completely different part of their life, ringing around those people is about highlighting, it's about the organisation, not the person. Is that what you're suggesting to me?
But this article this morning is about Oranga Tamariki.
No,
it's not about...
This article is part two. At the end of the first article, so you've got to connect them because Melanie Reed wants you to, at the end of the first article, she said part two will be coming.
Mm.
So the article, what they have done, I don't know why. Believe me, I don't know why. And I'm not dismissing what has been said in here, and I'm going to have to go and actually have a conversation with my staff about, as I say, what do I need to follow up on here and what don't I need to follow up on. But I ask you and I ask everybody that listens to this, put yourself in the shoes of that CE, and have people that ring around everybody you've ever worked with, everybody you've ever met or everybody you ever knew, and I ask you to decide whether that is reporting about an organisation or whether that is targeting a particular person and whether your character could stand up to it.
Okay, I think we're going... I just don't know really where we're going here, because if you're the chief executive of a ministry department dealing with some of our most vulnerable children, I think you do have to be held to a higher standard.
Your private life.
Well, this is, in terms of the article I'm speaking to, which is this morning, this is regarding Oranga Tamariki and social workers, and that's the conversation that I'm trying to have. I'm not necessarily trying to have a conversation about the previous role.
So you want to separate Melanie Reed's articles. You don't want to, because at the end of Melanie Reed's first article, she said there would be part two.
This is
a flow on article.
So they're connected, but in terms of the behaviour in this article that is being addressed, it's the culture of Oranga Tamariki, and it might be that that's pointing to a previous role. Sure. But in terms of, like you say, you're going to have to deal with some of these accusations in this article, right?
Well, yeah. Unfortunately, it's tricky, isn't it, because they're anonymous.
But if that's the case, if people feel so concerned about what the repercussions will be, then isn't that in itself something to be concerned about?
Well, and that's very difficult. And again, I would ask you, so I'm going to ask you, Lillian, if in a group of anonymous people complain about you, where is the natural justice for you? Where is the natural justice for you? You now have to defend yourself against people you don't know who they are. That's the tricky spot I'm in right now. I've got a reporter that has got a number of anonymous sources making quite some large accusations, that I'm now going to need to go and break down this article, find the ones that I feel that I need to follow up on and figure out what is the method by which I can follow up on them using the restrictions that I have as a Minister of the Crown, which means that I cannot get down into operational matters. So that's the conversation I'm going to have today, obviously.
Okay.
But I'm asking you, I find it, there is a human being here. There are human beings all the way through this. And again, I'm point to you where we started this conversation. This country seems to be really keen to see people fight and see people ripped down. And it affects, and I'll tell you what, the very reason we've got children that need to come into care in this country is because this country seems to like to see people fight.
So, okay, I still can't necessarily get over the fact that, yes, there's a difficult process here that you now have to deal with, but there are, again, still some very serious accusations at play.
Sarah?
If these do come to light and if it is seen that these are to be true and also that they are to be consistent within the organisation, what will you do?
Well, I can't answer you what I would do. I can't give you that statement right now, Lillian, because I need to go and find out what my capacity is. There are rules that I work under. But I also want to say this. I've been into Oranga Tamariki offices. I've sat with social workers. People know my email. I've never had any of these issues brought to my attention by social workers inside of Oranga Tamariki, right? I have personal friends, really good friends. My matron of honour is an Oranga Tamariki social worker on the front line. She knows how to get hold of me.
Mm. But if it is so...
you know, let's not just because it's been written down, let's not all leap to the assumption that every word that is written down on a page is true.
But then that's questioning the format of news, in the sense that these would have to be backed up and accurate, and before they could, you know, they would have been checked by the legal team.
I've been in the news, and I know when I have been in the news and it hasn't been true. So forgive me if I have a bit of, you know, scepticism here. Yeah, I've been reported on, and I know that I've never said that, and I can prove it.
Right.
So every now and then, just because it's written down on the page, it might be true for that person and what that person said, but it doesn't mean that everything that person said is necessarily true or in the context in which it was created. So, you know, I need to go away. That's my job now, is to go away and find the pieces of this that I have to investigate further. Right?
Okay. So, just final question, I guess, on this. In terms of, there have been calls for Graeme Moss's resignation for a long time now, as well as yours. So do you stand by Graeme Moss?
Grania,
thank you.
It's all right. I have not ever seen this behaviour. I know the improvements we have made to the organisation and the relationship that I have had with her over the last 3 years. So I'm obviously going to have to go away and, as I say, have a look at these things. But, I mean, I think it's interesting. There's a piece in there that I find interesting that is around the youth justice facilities. The Children's Commissioner investigates, has a, what's the word? He has oversight underneath the United Nations, under UNCROG, to go in and check our youth justice facilities. There are statements made in this article that don't align with the Children's Commissioner's reports to me on the youth justice facilities. So, you see, I need to go away and take the time to have a look at this. But I believe in the laws of natural justice. I believe in the laws of, just because it's written in the paper doesn't mean I'm going to go off and have a knee-jerk reaction. And particularly if it is because somebody thinks I want to make myself popular, so I'm going to do what they want. I will not be that sort of a politician.
No, but in terms of actually, if this comes to pass, right, if this is real, is this grounds to remove Grania Moss from her position?
What if it's not real? So what if it's not real? Just for a moment, imagine that, because it's really interesting how we like to assume the worst of people. What if it's not real?
Well, in terms of, again, if, I don't want to argue about what's real and what's not real, but there are...
But you just asked me, Lillian, and here's the point. So what if it's not real? What's the consequence then? What's the flip side of that? You asked me what the consequence is if it is real. I'm asking you, what is the consequence if it's not?
Yes, I get your point. But again, there's still some things in this article that point to problems. And if we go back to conversations we've had a couple of weeks ago, you know, they've said that in 2019, only 20% of staff in senior roles of the organisation are Māori, and 70% of the children in care are Māori. So if we're talking, like you've said, again, there's been change ever since the announcement. Last year.
Okay, so let's take those two figures. The first of all is that we have, look, and that's actually a comment about our education system, that's a comment about our ability for Māori to make sure that they are, you know, achieving inside the education system so that we have more social workers at the end of the day. That's the first thing, right? Just because there's 20% of Māori inside the organisation, are you saying that Pākehā don't care about Māori children?
No, that's not what I'm saying at all.
Well then, so what is it saying?
Well, it's saying that there's perhaps not at the moment enough people who are also understanding of different cultures and different communities.
Okay, so let's take that then. I'm Pākehā, but connected to Ngāti Kahununu.
Yes, but that's
so Lillian, if I ticked a box to say what my ethnic background is, I tick Pākehā, right? Now, then, so the assumption that you're giving me is that because I'm Pākehā, I don't understand other cultures. Now, that cannot be how we decide about people. That says that my race dictates who I understand and who I don't, regardless of my life experience. Now, I'm not arguing that I want to see more Māori social workers. Please don't make that what this is about. But what I'm arguing is to just take a percentage and decide, you know, by the colour of somebody's skin or their ethnic background, who they understand and who they don't understand, there's a name for that.
What is it?
Well, it's racism. You can't decide by the colour of a person's skin that you know who, you know, what they understand and what they don't understand. You just can't do that.
Okay, so that's not necessarily the assumption. So again, it's not a commentary on those who were in the organisation already and are Pākehā who may very well understand these things. But it is a stark, you know, contrast in numbers. Would you agree with that?
I would think you'll find that across... I'm not disagreeing with you. I think you'd find that across all government organisations, there has not been enough employment or enough opportunity for Māori to be represented at the table. So I would absolutely agree with that.
Okay. I'd love to speak to you more about this once you look into it, because then it'd be great to hear that other perspective too.
Well, just remember that this is somebody's life.
Yeah.
So every time somebody calls for the resignation or a head to roll, whether it be mine, which they have done, this is somebody's life. And I don't care whether they're a head public servant or whether they are just the person down at the bus stop. This is somebody's life. There's a human being involved here. So there will be things that I will and things that I won't talk about with regard to a person's life.
Right.
Because they deserve the dignity that we expect to be given to us, they deserve it.
But what about, if we're talking about someone's life then, we're talking about multiple children's lives who, in this report, they're being misrepresented in court.
I've got four children who've been murdered this year so far. I've got four children who've been murdered by people who were supposed to love them so far this year. We had 11 children last year murdered by people who were supposed to love them. So I'm very aware that this is about lives.
And, okay? And a conversation of their dignity as well.
Yes, of course. But don't ask me to give up one person's for the other. You either believe that we should be treating people fairly with laws of natural justice and respecting privacy and so on when we're talking about individuals, or you don't. You don't get a particular job and give up your human rights.
That was Tracy Martin from the New Zealand First Party. The Wire.